This episode was originally aired in June earlier this year. It is packed with productivity gems for the everyday working professional. Enjoy.
You are now listening to Productivity Boss Moves with Robert Price. For more, follow me on Twitter at Robert Price CO.
Welcome to Productivity Boss Moves. This is your host, Productivity Coach Robert Price, and I'm here with my lovely co-host once again, Mandy Wells. How you doing today,
Mandy? I'm doing good today. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Well, let me tell you this. Okay, I am doing good, but I'm just a little sad because this is our last episode in this series. So I'm doing good today, but I'm, you know, a little sad that it's going to be over because I'm so excited to hear all the content today. But you know, I guess all good things have to come to an end because we got to get to work, right?
Oh, this is just the beginning. This is not the ending at all. This is just the beginning. So I'm excited about really, you know, all of the things that we'll have an opportunity to, you know, do together and in the future. So this is the beginning.
The beginning. Okay. We're excited about, let's say, all the doors God's going to open. Yeah. See, I love how you look at things. You change it all up. I love it. That's why you're the productivity coach.
It's the truth, though. It's the truth. Yeah.
So what do we have to discuss for today? I'm so excited.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been on this BMW series, not the car, but this acronym. Talking about bedtime routines, morning routines, and workflow routines. So in the last couple episodes, we discussed the bedtime routines and the morning routines, and now we're on to the workflow routines.
I love it.
And it's funny because if you think about it, and I didn't plan this out, but if you think about it, you can put all of those together to construct a totally different productive life. You know what I mean? Because you got the nighttime covered, you have the morning covered, and then you have the workday covered. Mm-hmm. So if you put the principles that, you know, we're going to discuss, if you put all of those together, you'll have a ready-made plan to to get things done on another level. So this is the last part, the middle. We talked about the bedtime first, then the morning. But now we're going to talk about the middle because in some ways, the middle is the biggest struggle. Right. You know, it's you know, in some ways, you know, it's kind of calm towards the end of the day, you know, and we can kind of have that time. It's just about us disciplining ourselves to sit down and write out the list and kind of all the things we talked about to do at night. And then in the morning, it's really exciting. You get up and there's no one bargaining for your time at that moment. So, you know, you really get a chance to lock in. But then the day comes and then some seeming losses will have happened. And, you know, that's the stuff that we need to, you know, really push through in order to become our, you know, the best versions of ourselves. So
absolutely.
Some of the principles, you know, I'll talk about today, definitely, you know, you can carry them to shake off the midday blues or the 2
midday
o'clock.
Blues.
The 2:30 crash.
Yes. Do you have those?
Oh, everybody does. Yeah. But here's the advantage that I have that, you know, some others would have using this same principle. I actually plan my day out in a way, and this is really starting to get into some of the content, but I plan my day out in such a way where the stuff that I need the least amount of energy for gets scheduled during those times. So I'm very strategic about, okay, you know, just some more light work things, you know, I'll do during that time, depending on kind of what my setup is for that day. And, you know, because we all have a different peak productivity time. For me, that's in the morning, like right after I'm done with my morning routine, mm-hmm. whatever things I can knock out right then, if I'm doing creative work or whatever the case may be, I'll try to do that early on because mm-hmm. I'm at my, you know, peak state. But, you know, maybe yours is later on in the day, you mm-hmm. know, who knows, but just scheduling your day in a way where you have the most energy for what you need the most energy for.
Yeah. And I asked that question because, you know, as the productivity boss, I asked that question because I'm sure our audience wants to know, do you have the same type of days that we do? You know, do you have that, you know, midday blue? Do you, you know, is that a part of your routine?
Definitely.
Even with all the knowledge you have, how do you get over it? How do you overcome it? So
definitely. That's why I'm so passionate about this. Like, so the misconception is if you are talking about a particular subject that you are, you know, you're naturally great at that, or you've always been great at that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing for me, why I'm so passionate about this subject, productivity, is because I'm not that guy. I'm not the productivity guy, you know, in all actuality. Like, I'll give you an example, then I'll come back to this. Jim Quick, he's a brain memory expert.
Yeah.
And he had, you know, he had a situation where he had an accident where, you know, it caused some damage to his brain. And, you know, just stuff that he could normally do, naturally do, was taking him twice as long. And he ended up taking, I think, twice as long to graduate college. And, you know, it just created some severe challenges in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But through that process, it's almost like he had to have attention to detail on certain things that he learned about the brain and memory and reading,
mm-hmm.
To be at a place of competence. But his focus was so strong in that area that he moved past competence and now he's ruling the world.
Which is great.
In that
yeah.
area. And it was birthed from a point of pain, a point of a limitation.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, time management or productivity, that's never been my, you know, go-to move. But mm-hmm. the reason why that helps me to be, you know, a coach, an effective coach, is because I'm coaching from a perspective of someone who was once not good, you know, in that area. And these are the systems that I had to build in place to be able to be successful. So
okay.
when you say, can I relate? Oh, you have no idea how much I can, you know.
Love
and,
it.
So that's why, you know, so that's why this makes sense.
Okay.
Let's hop in.
Let's hop into our day because now I'm excited. So, I'm like, okay, tell me about my work day, my workflow routine.
Yeah. So this is going to be an acronym.
Okay.
As well. We had game time previously.
Mm-hmm.
And this acronym is control. So.
Oh, like Janet. Control.
Control. control. yeah. So, because you want to have, you know, so many people feel like they don't have control. They're mm-hmm. overwhelmed. They're looking for a way to gain control. So
okay.
here's a small picture into how you go about doing that. So the C in control stands for construct your ideal environment.
Okay.
So. And this is especially for my entrepreneurs that work from home. It's really easy to kind of settle into different places and just not have, you know, get caught up watching TV or get caught up, you know, just doing other things just because you're home
mm-hmm.
and you have that capability. I know you can, you know, maybe speak to this as a mm-hmm. as a realtor and the freedom of, you know, time that you have
in the beginning. And I still have an office. Mm-hmm. I actually pay for an office in our brokerage, because for me, I needed to have an office, because when you are at home, especially in the beginning, even if there's an office you can go to that you don't have to pay for, you know, I mean, whatever your business is, because there's so many things that come up at home and you find, like you said, there's so many things that you could get done, the dishes, the laundry, you know, just normal everyday stuff that you could just, oh, let me just do this for 15, 20 minutes. And 2 hours later, you're still working on this and it's turned into something else. So for me in the beginning, just keeping that, routine of going into the office until I felt confident and comfortable that my home life, I could sit in an office, because it's different sitting in an office and there's a lot of noise and people around you and a lot of stuff going on. It's very different to sit in your home office and it's just very, very quiet, you know? So I know some people listen to music and things like that, but for me, I had to figure out how to make that transition. So I think a lot of entrepreneurs out there, if that is an issue, I would do one of two things. I'd get an office, or, you know, if your company has an office that you could at least go to a couple days a week, just to make sure you stay on track with whatever your goals are for that week. Or there's a lot of other entrepreneurs that, you know, work from home. Maybe you can work at their home one day, like co-share space. They come mm-hmm. to your house and work a little bit. You co-share. And I think that's also good, because what I realized with doing that, we didn't meet at my home. We'd meet at like a Starbucks or something. Even if it's an entrepreneur in a different industry that you're in, y'all can bounce ideas off of each other. You know, you can say, hey, I'm doing this, especially if you're in a different industry. You can talk about, you know, what you're doing, and they can give you, you know, some real life examples of what works in their industry that might, you know, translate to work in your industry. So I always feel that's good, you know, if you're not the type of person that can work from home without getting, you know, distracted. Because what's the purpose of working at home? Because the difference is, when you're working from home, there's no money coming in. At least if you're going to a 9 to 5, if you don't work on the job, I hate to say it, there's a lot of people that loaf around. You still get a paycheck right. every 2 weeks or month or however you're paid. But you sit at home and you don't, you know, grind and really do the work that needs to be done and accomplish those goals, there's not going to be any money coming in your house. And right. the next person knocking on your door is probably someone to take the house from you.
Right.
If you keep it
the
out.
The eviction notice. Right. And it's so to add to that, because some people listening, they may not be, you know, entrepreneurs working from home, mm-hmm. that type of thing. If you're in a 9 to 5 type of scenario, working in an office, mm-hmm. you know, just thinking about the things that you need to make your environment comfortable. So the chairs that you're sitting in, the lights, the mm-hmm. blinds, the, you know, the neatness of your office, keeping your, because when you can see clearly, you can think clearly, mm-hmm. and you can produce at a higher level when you know, things are together. Even the fragrance that's in the room, a plug-in or, you know, some sort of spray where you, you know, it's something about it smelling good mm-hmm. in the atmosphere that makes you feel more, you know, feel good. Feel good about your space and feel good about what you're doing. So whatever way you can, you know, construct your environment so that it works for you, definitely, you know, doing that is key. And here's a productivity principle that I've learned and that I've applied, is just finding a space for a particular activity that you're doing and sticking to that space. So, for instance, if you're eating dinner, that you're doing it in a place, you know, let's say if you're eating in the kitchen, mm-hmm. you know, but when that happens, it causes you to, you know, there's no TVs around. It causes you to communicate with your family. Like, you think about the dynamics that are going on when you do that particular activity. And so that might be an ideal place for it. Or if you're, you know, you're working on something, you know, work wise, then doing that in your home office or some place that you designate as a workspace in your home, so that your laptop doesn't end up in your bed.
Right, right,
and then
right.
Now there's no, the lines are blurred.
Very blurred,
you know,
yeah.
We're talking about work-life balance and all of that, but when are you never working? The laptop is in your lap in the bed. So just creating that separation and, you know, having a place that you do the things that you do.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, I wanted to speak to that real quick for anyone that's listening. That's the, because I get a lot of questions. They're like, Mandy, how did you transition from, and this is many years ago, but how did you transition from, you know, a 9-to-5 to entrepreneurship? And I feel like before I transferred, I gave myself, I wrote up a document of what, how much money I needed to make within a year while I was on the job at this second job before I would be able to quit. And I constructed my time that I would get to work, you know, maybe like 15 minutes early, and I just sit in the car and do, you know, basically just write out everything that I needed to do for that day. You know how they give a lot of people at our office at 10 o'clock, they take a smoke break. I didn't smoke, but some people would take smoke breaks. Some people would take eating breaks. And before I decided to do this, we'd all go get a snack in the cafeteria, you know, and, you know, then come back or something. So you get that little 15-minute break. So I feel like as an entrepreneur, what I started doing, instead of taking that break, I would use that time to make any calls or return any calls, because I had two separate lines, you know, of course, my work, and then I had my own business line. I would use that 15 minutes at my lunch. I would prep my lunch the night before. So I'd meal prep and have my lunch with me. I'd go straight to my car. I'd return calls, use my, you know, laptop, do all my work from 12 to 1, go back to work at 3 o'clock when everyone would take another, you know, afternoon break, smoke break, whatever they did. I would pop out, so I had 15 minutes, and we used to have a little lounge in the bathroom. So I would just go and sit in that lounge, and it was separate from the bathroom. So you didn't even have to actually go in the bathroom. It was a little separate lounge. I'd go in there for 15 minutes, do some work. And then when I got off at 5, you know, there's a lot of traffic here in Texas. So I would spend 30 minutes and just sit in the parking lot after work, because I knew, like, once I picked my daughter up, that was going to be, of course, family time. So I would spend 30 minutes just sitting in the parking lot, you know, managing calls, emails, and stuff like that. So it wasn't like a lot of time, but I maximized every piece of time that I had. So, you know, we were talking about constructing your ideal environment. If you're trying to leave your 9-to-5, make sure you're going to financially be able to support that. And then also make sure you block out the time, because if you start that time blocking while you're on your job and you're very limited on time, you're going to be able to get so much more done, and you're going to be so much ahead of the curve when you finally do decide to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. And boundaries, man, boundaries have a way of time constraints have a way of pushing us.
Oh, yes.
To even be more productive than seemingly we are with all the time in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If I know I can only do this from 2 to 3, my focus from 2 to 3 is at another level compared to you got all day. And it's like, because it's like Parkinson's law, you know. The work that we do expands to the time that we have available to do it. So if you got 8 hours to do it, it'll take 8 hours, just because you know in the back of your mind that's how long you have to do it, versus if you have an hour, it could be the same exact task, but you may be able to figure out a way to knock that task out in an hour, because that's the only time you have to do it. So, no, that's definitely on point. So number two, the next one is O, and it is operate on paper first.
So, explain that one. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. Operate on paper first. So it's kind of something we talked about before with getting out of your head, that productivity principle of writing everything down. And something about writing things down that feels different, that just gives you a sense of control where it's in that one place. Cause I don't know about you, but everything is in my phone, you know, text messages, you know, tweet, Facebook, Instagram, you know, games, podcast, all different types of distractions and things I could get into is on my phone. And so, you know, the exercise of writing things down, you know, it just really takes your, you know, it takes you to a place where you have to only focus on that.
Okay.
And then, you know, having that with you in a way where you are, you know, kind of using that as a guide, it is, you know, it's something I found that's most effective for me. I've kept lists in my phone and on electronic, you know, places before, but I have a little notebook. I call it my handy dandy, you know, notebook. But yeah, I just keep it kind of in my back pocket, as I think of something else that I have to do, I'll just jot it, you know, jot it down right there. And, you know, I keep that with me. So
awesome.
And you could transfer it. I think transferring it to an electronic spot where, you know, you're able to see it on your phone or your computer or whatever the case may be. But I think doing that first, it's just something about that experience that definitely it takes you longer to write. So it kind of, you know, gets into your system a lot more. And people even talk about that when it comes to taking notes for particular subjects. If you type it down, you type faster than you write. Yeah. So it's kind of like a blur while you're typing it. But when you have to write it, you can't write as fast. So you only write literally the most important things that were shared.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what, you know, you have to capture it. So,
okay.
So,
I like it.
So that's number two, operate on paper first.
So what's number three?
Number three, this is a cool one. No hesitation.
Okay.
No hesitation. So things that take you 2 minutes or less to do,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still growing in this area, but full transparency, but things that take you 2 minutes or less to do, just do them.
Mm-hmm. You know,
we write down goals and things. So here's the difference, in my opinion. There's a slight difference between a task and a goal. Really, a task is something you can just knock out. 2 minutes or less, or even 5 minutes or less, depending on what the task is. But a goal is something that, okay, this is going to take me half an hour, 2 hours to complete. Like, I really have to focus my mind and energy mm-hmm. on this particular thing. But there's a bunch of little tasks that once we start to knock those out, it starts to give us a level of momentum that mm-hmm. carries us, you know, forward into the, you know, some of the more important things that we have to spend more time on. So just if it takes 2 minutes or less, just immediately, you know, just do it right away.
Yeah, that's good. And also, you know, one of the things that I've learned that's really easy, and it's something actually I learned from my husband. Like, when you're going to watch TV anyway, because he watches TV very rarely, but when he does, he folds clothes. He'll just sit there right. while he's watching TV, or he'll stand.
Absolutely.
You know, and he'll just fold clothes, even if it's one basket.
Right.
And it was so funny because he was asking me to do it last night. I was like, I don't like to do that. I don't like to watch TV and fold clothes.
That was a negative for you.
Yeah, I was like, that doesn't work for me. But what I realized, I did it, and I realized, he's like, well, why don't you just fold the towels? Like, just try to do the towels, since that's like you know, something really easy. And so, you know, I did that little basket of towels or whatever. So mm-hmm. I, you know, maybe just to try something, even like the simple things, like towels take mm-hmm. no effort, you know, at least start off with something like that. But it helps with if you're trying to, you know, do house cleaning or something like that.
Right,
or even if you
right.
have to sort bills. Now that I can do, which is so weird. I can sit there and, you know, take a little letter opener and then, you know, open them and put everything out. But that's my mind, how it works, you know, with accounting and stuff. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And one of a big productivity principle is combining something that you like to do with mm-hmm. something that you don't like to do. So you mentioned your husband watching TV and folding, you know, the laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I usually like to listen to some sort of podcast that I enjoy while I'm washing the dishes.
Oh, yeah,
or,
me too. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Something where it's taking your mind, like when I'm cleaning a room or something like that, I'll go to a music station that I, you know, thoroughly enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that just makes the time fly by. But you're being productive, but you're not being, your energy is not being fully zapped of you. Because you're combining it with something you enjoy. So
I do that same thing with the podcast, and I give myself, like, cleaning the kitchen is one of those things mm-hmm. I don't like to do. So I'll listen to like an hour podcast. And mm-hmm. even if I just say, hey, I'm only going to do 30 minutes. But once I start listening to the podcast, I'm interested and I want to hear it all the way through. And so I'll keep going, even though I told myself I was only going to do 30 minutes.
Right. And next thing you know, the kitchen is clean.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. And you're
and
like,
the drawers
wait,
and the
okay,
pantry.
I did it. Matter of fact, is there more for me to do? I'm ready to, you know, you have a little bit more. Yeah.
Exactly.
Especially if you're listening to something motivating while you're doing that, it just gives you another level of energy.
With that.
So, no hesitation. Just get it done.
Get it done. Right, I like away. That.
2 minutes or less. And then this is a huge one. So T, the fourth one, is time block. So we talk about this a lot on the call. And you know, based on research that was done this year, the top productivity kind of principle thing to use strategy is time blocking. And so what time blocking is a fancy way to say, you know, schedule it out.
Yeah.
So what I'll do is I'll say, you know, this is a kind of something we go back and forth on the call, but I'll say like, I'm just going to use wash the dishes as an example because I was just talking about that, but I will wash the dishes, by 4 p.m. Right. And here's the thing. The reason why that's such an important thing to do is because let's say you got a list of 10 things and you don't have a time attached to those 10 things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you may not actually have enough time to complete all 10 things.
Right.
But you don't know that because you didn't attach the time to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually maybe gives you a higher level of expectations in terms of what you think you could do when you don't time block, when you don't say, I'm going to do this by, you know, 4 p.m. And what really helps is if you can time block, you know, your entire week so that, let's say if you have an hour block where you know you're supposed to work on your business, like if you're doing a 9 to 5 and then you have this hour after work where you know you work on your business, well, you know whatever you're gonna do for your business is gonna happen in that time block. So if you set a goal for yourself that day, business related, then it's easy to list it out in that particular block. Because you already know you have that time designated anyway. So that's the next level of, you know, really looking at, okay, here are my goals and tasks for the day. Where do they fit into, you know, my schedule? Or what do I need to, what's not going to happen today? Where do I need to, you know, schedule for the tomorrow or the next day after that? What do I need to remind myself to do that day because it's not going to be able to happen today because of the time you know, that I'm working with? And then you become even smarter at the tasks that you do, the goals that you do set, because now, especially when it comes to being trusted by other people. Like if you look at your schedule and you say, okay, I'll do that for you by the end of the day. Well, if you look at your goals now, that might not be realistic. Like you don't have that time, but you would have known that if you time blocked. So you would have been able to tell that person, I'll get this done for you by the end of the day tomorrow.
Exactly.
You know, based on your stuff, you're not going to be able to do that. And the thing about that is I always talk about undersell and over deliver.
Right.
In terms of, you know, literally if you tell a person, you know, Amazon does this, but if you tell a person, I'll have it to you by Friday and you give it to them on Thursday, right? And this is Monday you're talking about. I'll give it to you by Friday, but you give it to them on Thursday.
Right.
Versus a person who says, I'll give it to you by Wednesday, and then they give it to you on Thursday. Well, literally both people gave the item at the exact same time, But one had a, they extended the expectation. Even if they knew they could get it done by Thursday, they put the time a little bit further out. So now when they're delivering it, it's like a pleasant surprise. It's like, wow, great. You gave it to me ahead of when you said you would, compared to the person who gave it on the same exact day, but they gave it after the expectation they set. So,
and one thing about time blocking that I think really helps people is if you know you can't do something, because if you finally do block your time out and you see that you've promised someone something, I always feel like it's good to let them know you're not going to be able to do it. Right. And when you don't, I feel like you feel bad about it. And then the other person has a, you know, kind of a negative impression as well. Even if it was a, you know, a legitimate reason why you weren't able to, you know, get it done. And I think a lot of times we miss the boat on just owning up to, we're not going to be able to get some, you know, get something done, and letting that person know.
That's always a, that's always a great, you know, a fallback, if you will, in terms of if you don't get it done. But definitely doing this like time after time and really getting in the rhythm of it, you start to learn your patterns. Like you start to learn, well, I usually give myself an hour for this, but it typically takes me an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give myself actually 2 hours for this instead of the hour that I've been giving myself, because that helps us to kind of lessen those conversations that we have to have about, hey, I didn't complete it, you know, this time. So, no, this is really great, great feedback. So
what do we have, another one?
Yeah, we're on to five, the R.
So oh, my goodness.
We're almost done.
I know, it's going so fast.
Coming down the home stretch. Yeah, I got to give it to you.
Yeah, today it feels like it's really going quickly. I don't know. And I'm writing. Yeah, I'm doing the same thing I was doing before, but it just feels really
quick. Hey, we're in the workflow, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the morning is slower. The evening is a little bit more relaxing and chill. In the workflow, you got to get it done.
Done, that's true.
They're at their desk listening to this like, yeah, keep it coming.
Yeah, exactly.
But so the R is to remind yourself to focus.
Mm-hmm.
So in reminding yourself to focus, there are some, you know, we find ourselves in the day like getting to points where, you know, you just squirrel, you know, your mind is, you know, running, and it's like, what am I supposed to be doing?
Right.
You know,
right.
Like right now. And one of the built-in questions I have, and really, you can do this. You can set this question almost as a, you can set it as an alarm, and have it go off, you know, a few different times throughout your day. But I have this question that says, what's the best use of this moment?
Hmm.
What's the best use of this moment? So literally, whenever you are like, what am I supposed to be doing? That question kind of brings you back. Like, what's the best use of this moment?
That's
and
good.
Somehow, magically, we connect, like, really quickly. I know I do with, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that question really brings you back. So even if you know, this could be strategic. So if you know there are certain times where you get that thought, like, what am I supposed to be doing? Whether it's the 2:30 or it's the right after lunch, or if it's the, you know, sometime in the morning, I don't know, if it's 3 alarms that you set or 2, whatever you need, you know, but asking that question, what's the best use of this moment? Definitely is, it's a game changer. Like that question helps me to lock in very consistently. Yeah, so. And then just an added bonus in that particular section, you know, kind of recently came across the book, The One Thing. And this question, I'm paraphrasing here, I might be butchering it a little bit, but it's this question of what one thing that if I do would render everything else unnecessary or or not as important? Like, you know, what what's the one thing at this moment that is, you know, that would render, you know, these other things unnecessary? I don't need to do them if I do this. So that's another kind of question you can, you know, you can use. But what's the best use of this moment is that's like my go-to.
That's good.
Yeah. So number six, we're on O here.
The O. Okay.
And it's on that dreaded, it's the email point, but it's on the online mail management. I had to make it work. I couldn't say email because it needed to be O.
So, oh, okay.
You know, the online mail management. And really, with that, there's three categories that, you know, you can fit things into. And here are the three categories. So action required,
mm-hmm.
no action required, or urgent. Urgent is probably not going to go in a folder because it's urgent. Like you need to do it now, right? Action required goes in the action required folder.
Mm-hmm.
And then no action required is just something, an email that you want to file, an email that you want to, you know, maybe I will go over that information at some point, or it may be important for me to, you know, reference at some point. You put it there. But the important thing is to do something with each one. Like not to just skip over them,
mm-hmm.
because what happens is it just becomes clutter, and that clutter just creates, just like if our room is, you know, there's stuff everywhere, you know, you may be able to find that thing, but I can't tell you how many times I've, you know, maybe been late to something just because I couldn't find my keys, you know, because everything wasn't all together. Or, you know, if we're recording this podcast and my stuff isn't all together, my, you know, recorder, the mic and everything.
Mm-hmm.
There was one time, and I cleaned up right after this, but there was one time I just couldn't find the mic. I'm like, what am I going to do? I cannot find this microphone. So, you know, we end up spending a lot more time. We think we're saving time by like, oh, I'll do that later. But, you know, it's causing us to lose time in the end. So, you know, just keeping those different folders. Actions required,
mm-hmm.
No action required, and, you know, urgent. Either, and if it's urgent, it needs to either be done then, like mm-hmm. for the 2 minutes or less principle, or a reminder needs to be set for when you're, you know, going to do that particular thing. But either way, action is necessary for that. And so that's the O. And then,
let me ask you this on the online management system. I mean, I just looked down at my email, and I won't embarrass myself to say how many unread emails that I have. Because sometimes you just scroll through them, really, you know the ones that are important.
I don't think you're in a minority talking about this. So you don't have to put it on wax, though. You're an amazing credit, health, and wealth strategist.
thank you. So I feel like, you know, we become little hoarders, like you said, of emails, just like we do, you know, at our house with paper and items and things like that. So when, you know, talk to the listeners about when do you get rid of something? Because you always feel like you're going to need this. You know, there's some things that are just junk mail. We know that you get rid of that. That's easy. But it's that email that, you know, I probably should keep it. I probably shouldn't. Even though I don't necessarily, you know, have an action on it, I might need to keep it for this future project or, you know, something down the line. Like, how do you, how do you manage that?
Yeah, here's what I would suggest. I would suggest periodically going back through that folder. So if you create the no action required folder and you have those items in there, periodically going through. So I'll just keep it like from a household standpoint, you know, in moving. You know, me and my wife have gone back and forth about certain things. About what we need to keep or what we need to throw away or give away, and Ah, this is a great, hopefully my wife doesn't listen to this episode for what I'm about to say, but she literally has biology books from when she was in college in a crate, right? Now, currently my wife doesn't do anything with biology and doesn't necessarily plan to. It was her major in college.
Okay.
And her response to me one day when I was like, we need to throw these books away or give them to the library or do something, you know, her response to me was, we, our son can use the books. I said, oh no,
those
books won't even be relevant when he is, you know, old enough to read them.
To read them. Oh, that's funny.
This is probably the third edition. They'll be on the 25th edition.
Right, right.
By the time he gets there. I said, oh, no.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, colleges are good for, you got to have the latest edition, you know, to get more money.
Yes. Well, I think it's hilarious that, because I have to say this, you sound like my husband and I sound like your wife, because I go back further. I do have books from college, but I also have some from high school. And I was just like, I just want my daughter.
And when's the last time you read them?
I just saying they're in a box. They're in a little, you know, they're all
in an unnecessary box that you don't need in your house. Yeah. And this is the same thing that I'm going over. And so
and now so you're going to make me pull it out. I'm going to pull it out. And now that my daughter's old enough, because I kind of forgot about it, I'm going to pull it out now. And I'm going to say, hey, honey, you need to look over mommy's high school, because she's about to go into high school next year. So she can look over my high school book. And then as she gets a little older,
I mean,
look
if it's not
college.
A yearbook, what do you need?
Well, I don't know. Like I had, you know, like I took French, and I don't know why I kept that book, you know, but like I kept my French book, and she's always wanted to take French. And then I kept a couple other ones, and she's really into history. So I kept some of
those. They have stuff for that, though, like Rosetta Stone.
I know, but I just want her to see what mommy, you know, what I was reading back in the day and, you know, what school looked like for me. That's what I want to do.
I don't think she cares. I'm going to be honest. I don't I don't know. I don't know.
But, I know it's, I don't know what it is, but I holding on to stuff, you know, that you really, when you think about it, but we don't need that stuff.
Yeah. And so and using this same principle, with your emails, like if you've been having that email filed in that section for over a year and it's like, you, you know what I mean? You didn't even think about possibly using it at some, you know, come on, you can delete it. And so, you know, and in the same way, I'm glad we kind of talked about the household stuff, but man, that is, important too, because just clutter in your environment can really, you know, have you not to be able to think clearly.
Yeah, I agree.
So definitely, you know, using that. And the last one is limit distractions.
That sounds interesting.
I mean, because we have so many distractions these days with, I know, you know, you don't necessarily have this as a big distraction, but social media.
Yeah, that's not mine. Yeah, not mine. Well,
you know what? You're probably 25 times more productive because you don't have social media.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I don't have it.
That's the reason why you don't.
Yeah, that's the reason why I don't. Yeah,
right. Got it. That makes sense. All right, so I'm no longer gonna hound you about.
But in business, you do need it. But my issue was, this was many years ago when Facebook first came out. I had my sister set up an account. I'll just tell you this really quick. I had my sister set up an account. I only had 11 little friends, and I just thought it was so interesting. And so I, at that time, I had a small business, and we had
11 little friends. That's hilarious. You said 11 little friends.
Well, yeah, because I mean, most people, they were trying to get like lots and lots of friends. I just had my sister, you know, set it up. You know, just people that I was, you know, close to. And so Facebook was really new then when this happened. And so I only had 5 employees. And so we had a staff meeting like that Monday, and we were talking about it. And I was saying, hey guys, you know, we're a new business. You know, we've got to make sure we, you know, have a good year. I'm kind of noticing, you know, all of us are excited about Facebook and, you know, And everybody was. I was like, so, but we still got to work. Like, we have to get our work done. And we can't, you know, let this platform take over and us not get work done, because we won't have jobs if there's no work coming in. And so, you know, we kind of had that, you know, Monday morning status meeting, getting everything together. And so by Wednesday, I was in my office and I went, you know, to lunch. And this happened on Monday. So Wednesday, I you know, went in my office to lunch. I closed the door. I said, oh, well, I'm going to eat my lunch and then I'm going to go on to Facebook. So excited. I look up. It's about 12:30. I'm like, okay, I got about 30 more minutes. Look up again. It's 2 o'clock. Mind you, I only have 11 little friends, okay? You know that staff meeting that I just had on Monday with my employees? I'm myself now doing something that I've asked my employees not to do. I called my sister on the phone. I said, hey, I'm not sure how you shut this down or what you need to do, but can you shut it down? I shut it down and hadn't gone back. And that was over, well over 10 years ago. I mean, it was a long time ago.
Right. There's this, I mean, this scripture that plays in my mind about, you know, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. You know, cut it off.
Yeah.
And it's so true about things that are blocking us from getting to the next level. Like, we may feel like it's pleasurable to us when we're doing it, but if we recognize, man, this is stopping me from getting to the next level, then the next thing to do is to cut it off. So for me, I'll list out, kind of did this activity, these 10 kind of distractions. Well, I'll just list out a few. But you know, it's sports talk, sports talk radio, like podcasts or YouTube video. I mean, whatever it is, sports talk in general, it's just like I get one and I just kind of go into the rabbit hole of, oh, I want to hear what this person thinks about this or this person thinks about this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so I know, hey, if I'm going to stay focused, if I want to stay focused after this lunch period is over, then let me not even start to go into this. You know what I mean? At time, and it, there may be a time where, you know, that's appropriate. But if you know it's causing you to, you know, not be as productive as you, you know, you want to be, then, you know, it's time to shut that particular thing down. Or like games on my phone. I noticed when I sat down at times, I would just pull up a certain, you know, spades. I like to play spades or Tetris, you know, just different games on my phone. Well, if they're not on my phone, that's a whole lot to do. To go to the app store to download the game, to then open it up and play the game, you know, and I still, ever so often, I'll go back and download it. But that's the other thing to remember. If you delete it, you're not deleting it for life, but you're deleting it for the standpoint that this is going to be really inconvenient if I want to go back and play this.
Absolutely.
So I'll just eliminate, you know, the games, so I don't have games on my phone right now.
Awesome.
I'm trying to think of something else that would be... random snacks is a big distraction for me. It has been at
like
times.
What?
And like, just so here's the thing, what I would do with snacks. I would say, okay, I'm going to start doing this after I eat these chips. Or I'm going to start doing this. But now that I had the chips, this is salty, so I need some fruit. You know, some sugar.
Right.
So I'm going to eat this candy.
So you can't do it while you're doing...
Now that I eat the candy.
You can't eat while you're doing the... Because that's what most people do. They eat while they're getting distracted.
Yeah, I eat while I'm doing stuff, but I'm not as focused, honestly. I'm not as locked in. So, yeah, it sounds like a strange distraction, but that's the thing. It could be the strangest thing. For someone else, they could have no type of, you know, problem with that particular thing. However, if it's causing a distraction for you, you need to, you know, do this activity of listing out, okay, what are the things that are distracting?
Exactly.
And cut that off. And then the big distraction for a lot of people, which we talked about, was the social media. So I just do the, you know, I create parameters around when the time for me to be on social, because I do post on social, you know, regarding my business, having a presence that way. And but then that hour, whatever I designate to do that, I'll post, I'll check out other people's posts, and I'll, you know, respond to messages and stuff like that. But then after that time is done, after that alarm goes off, you know, that time is done. So
yeah. That
would be my biggest suggestion as far as social. Don't just kind of go up there as notifications ping through. Actually designate a time that this is going to be my social time, whether that's once a day, whether it's twice mm-hmm. a day. But figuring that out, that'll limit, you know, the distractions in that sense, and definitely cutting those notifications off. So that's the last thing. And so, yeah, control. So if I would have had an acronym for the first one, I know I didn't, but it would have been relax.
Relax. Okay.
The second one was game time, and this one was control. And really, you have an opportunity from wire to wire to build a hot, you know, more productive life through, you know, these principles that we've been talking about. So that's exciting.
That is.
So, you know, that wraps up.
That wraps up the BMW.
This series. That wraps up the BMW. If you want to be driving a BMW.
Yes. I think if you can get all this together, you should be. If you can get these principles down, you should be. Or whatever your car of choice is.
Right. Whatever your car of choice. I'm actually not a BMW guy myself. I'm a Lexus guy. But I'm just saying, whatever, you know, whatever your thing is, you can do that thing. So, you know, I had so much fun.
Me too. I've learned a lot. And it's helped me kind of consolidate some things that I was doing, make some changes. Just like, you know, I was telling you, we first got on, did the water thing this morning, you know, just having that first thing, bringing it on the podcast instead of my drink.
It was the strawberry drink.
It's so funny because normally I don't even drink soda. That's like one of the things that even in our whole household, it's very, very rare that, we'll buy it. But yesterday for some reason, because I had to get on the podcast, I stopped at a little fast.
You just grabbed something real quick.
Yeah, I grabbed something. I was like, I haven't been to this place. Oh, that's right. I like a strawberry drink here, you know. So little things like that.
Okay.
But I wanted to make
sure. It was good podcast content.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was doing it for the podcast. Yeah, so, absolutely. Worked. Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know.
That's but cool. It was great. This time was really, really good with you. And I, you know, just really thank you for allowing me to come on and, you know, speak to your audience and, you know, just soak up some knowledge, you know, while I'm here. And I'm definitely going to take that back, you know, to my team. A lot of the things that we're doing, take it back to my family first, because I think that'll make huge changes in our, you know, in our lives. And then also to our team, because I just don't think a lot of people, you know, think about what can make their life and their day so much easier. And this BMW is, it's easy to remember. And it's really, and I love how you have the relax, game time, and control, so that each one you can kind of remember, okay, for bedtime, I need to relax. For my morning routine, I need to have, you know, it's game time. And then for my workflow, I need to have control. I mean, I love it. So if you can't remember everything, if you can remember like those two words together, I think it'll just help you kind of remember the things that we talked about. So Robert, I'm so proud of you for doing this. I mean, I really, really am. And I'm really thankful. And I know you're going to change a lot of people's lives with what you're doing on this podcast. And I mean, I've seen just a little snapshot of what the next ones are with, you know, your other co-host. And I'm really excited for your audience, you know, to really get to know you and then also just get to change their lives. And you know, while they're in the car listening to this, you know, they're university, you know, because that's really what our car is a another university.
Absolutely.
Because we have that time to actually learn versus just listening to nonsense. So I feel like you're going to change some lives, and I can't wait to see what you do. I mean, you're going to be national now, but I like I told you in the beginning, you're going to be international with this, and I can't wait to see, you know, where God takes you.
Hey, I appreciate those kind words. And I just want to get this out. Right. Get this out of my system. I don't have a international goal in mind per se. You know, I just want to, you know, help as many people as I can help from sharing the things that have helped to change my life. As I shared that I wasn't naturally the most, you know, productive, productive person, because of, my personality type. It actually says, one of the lines it says on areas for continual improvement is time management. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's data, it's on wax, mm-hmm. that it is an area that, you know, I definitely need to gain, you know, give continual attention, mm-hmm. to. But I am proud to say that I have, and other people have noticed. Awesome. And to decided to, you know, pay me to help them, you know, manage their time. So I would say I definitely have overcome some major challenges in that area, to the point where someone would pay me to, you know, help them, you know, overcome things for themselves.
Yeah. So you changed an obstacle into, you know, a gift for so many. I love it. You know, because we always say that the things that we go through, like the negative things that we go through, it's not really just for us. It's to actually, you know, be a testimony and to help somebody else. And in your method, you know, that time management has changed into, you know, helping other people get to the space where you are right now. I love it. So it wasn't in vain that you had to go through that. So
yeah. So I can't wait for you guys to tune in next time, because we'll be talking about how to overcome limiting beliefs and low expectations.
That's gonna be good.
So just had to throw that out there for you. I thank you so much for your input and your insight and your expertise, as you have certainly, you know, proven to, you know, have a lot to bring to the table concerning this subject matter, given what you've been able to accomplish in your personal life. So
thank you. You're welcome.
And just thank you for being a great friend, you know.
You're welcome.
You know, asking me what I need prayer for, and just, you know, just being the, you know, great person that you are. So thank you. Everybody, I'm Robert Price, your productivity coach, helping you focus on what matters most. Have a productive week.
Hey, Robert, guess what? You can't have a productive week because you didn't tell us what our productivity move was, our productivity boss move was for this week.
So y'all see why I need help. Y'all see that? You know what I mean? I was already moving on to the next thing. I'm squirrel. I'm telling you, you know, that's what's going on. But see, this is why I know I had to have some co-hosts to keep me square, you know? So the productivity boss move of the week is going to land on what we were just talking about. Writing out, okay, what are all of those things that are causing distractions in your life? It may not be social media. It may be social media. It may be whatever it is for you. But listing out, I would say, you know, 10 mm-hmm. things. Listing out 10 things that cause distraction, and, you know, eliminate those things, or at least figure out a way to limit those things as you move forward to what you seek to accomplish. So that's the boss move of the week, because I could say focus on any of these other principles, but until you limit the distractions and you clear that out, you won't even have space in your life to apply the other principles.
So love it.
We'll start there.
Hey, I got my action there for the week.
All right, great. See, oh, that was a selfish. You needed that action for yourself.
Well, so you gave me all this good information.
You made it seem like it was about the listeners.
I was.
Okay. Listeners, let me let y'all know something. She didn't care nothing about
y'all. I do.
That was about her getting her.
I do, but they're like me.
Oh,
they were on the edge of their seat waiting for that. So
right.
I know they were like me.
They were about to be done with this podcast.
No, they weren't.
He said he was going to give us a boss move of the week.
Nah, yeah.
But everybody, I'm Robert Price, your productivity coach, helping you focus on what matters most. Have a productive week.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Productivity Boss Moves. If you have any questions, topic suggestions, or just want to say hello, follow me on Twitter at @RobertPriceCO. If you haven't done so already, please take a minute and leave a quick rating and review of this show on Apple Podcasts. It will help me to keep delivering life-changing information for you every week.